Hello and welcome to our second audio service. My name is Juliet, I'm the priest in charge at St Swithin's, and I'm joined by Richard, my husband, who's also a reader in the church.
Hello.
If you are able to find a candle and a cross to help focus your worship, we suggest that might really help you. This week we're suggesting you also use a twig, something that is sort of obviously dead or a little lost from its source. Be creative. The children might like to also use the Sunday school resources, which are provided by Izzy. As last week, there are hymn suggestions and music suggestions on the front inside cover of the service booklet, which you can find under the resources section on the website. Introduction. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent, and it is traditionally called Passion Sunday. It is the time in Lent when things really begin to heat up as we follow Jesus to the cross, and we call this time Passiontide. This week, our Prime Minister addressed the nation to tell us that the coronavirus situation now means that we must take urgent action and stay at home. A bit like the season of Lent and Passiontide, things feel like they are heating up for us. We're hearing about and experiencing scary things with serious measures, and it's a time of fear and dread for many of us. We are living with isolation and fear of death and disease in our world. Today's readings are about resurrection. They are about returning to life, Ezekiel in the Valley of the Bones, and Jesus with his friends in their distress. Our stories from the Bible and from each other can give us hope. Today in our worship, don't forget to have that stick or twig or something which feels rather detached or dead in front of you, as it will help you follow with us. Alternatively, you can use the picture of the twig which is on the back of the booklet. The Gathering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We come from scattered lives to meet with God.
Let us recognise God's presence with us.
As we join ourselves together in worship, if you can focus now on that stick or twig or the picture that you have in front of you, remember just for a moment that although we are separated from the church in this difficult and painful time, like this twig that we have in front of us from the tree, we can still join together in worship. We are a family and we are connected by our prayers. As God's people, we have gathered.
Let us worship God together. Let us say sorry to God. Talk to God about the things you're sorry about so that you can restore your relationship with God, with others and yourself. Do you need to take action? We confess to you our selfishness and lack of love. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you our fear and failure in sharing our faith. Fill us with your Spirit. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We confess to you our stubbornness and inability to trust. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. And because we've said sorry, we know that God forgives us. God forgives you. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. Be at peace.
Amen.
The Collect Prayer gathers ourselves around the theme of this service, and the theme is Passion Sunday. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you gave up your Son out of love for the world. Lead us to ponder the mysteries of his Passion, that we may know eternal peace through the shedding of our Saviour's blood, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Liturgy of the Word. A reading from the book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all round them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. For the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. One of the things I've always wanted to own is a human skeleton. I remember when I was growing up, there was a comedy on the television called Steptoe and Son. I didn't see it very often because my mum thought it was a rude programme. However, when I did see it, I noticed that the father and son rag and bone merchants had a skeleton on a stand in their junk-filled home. It may have been my interest in bones which led me eventually to become a radiographer. For over 20 years in my clinical career, I used x-rays to make pictures of people's bones. I had to learn about them and all of the things that can go wrong with bones. The bones inside each of us are brilliant. Living tissues which support all of our organs and allow us to move around. We know immediately when any of our bones are injured or diseased. Bones are a blessing to us. But before the man who discovered x-rays in 1895 took the very first picture of his wife's hand, the only way people ever got to look at or study human bones was either during a very serious operation or when bones were recovered from a corpse or from a grave. Dead bones hang around long after the rest of the body parts have perished. No wonder bones to most people were, and still are, a symbol of death. In our first reading, we join the prophet Ezekiel as he's given a vision of death and destruction, a valley filled with dry bones. It's one of the most vivid stories of the Bible, and Ezekiel witnessed the power of God to restore bodies to the bones and breathe into the bodies so that they come to life. The vision is part of a turning point in the book of Ezekiel. God is promising to restore new life to the shattered and desolate people of Israel that had been carried off into exile in a foreign land. Everything must have seemed hopeless to those people, and there is much in the book about that desolation. It was desperate, and all seemed lost. And the feeling is captured in these words from our reading. Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. So this is the context for the message of new life, restoration out of desperation. Ezekiel talks of it being God at work. God bringing the dead hopes of the people to life. God breathing life and bringing resurrection. I think we can relate to feelings of fear, desolation and dislocation, can't we? In barely 2 weeks, our normal patterns of life and society have been taken away by forces beyond our control. Almost every aspect of life has changed, and the nation is fearful. Many are facing a battle with an unpredictable disease, and we're told that many are going to die of the effects of the virus. It's an uncertain and scary time to be alive. Where is our God in all of this? In Ezekiel's time, the people very likely felt that God had abandoned them. And I wonder, have you ever felt like that? In our gospel reading, we see Jesus in the midst of a tragic scene. His friend Lazarus has died, and the grieving family are perplexed, perhaps even angry, that Jesus had not been there when they needed him most. Mary says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." The story, like in Ezekiel, has a miraculous ending. But notice how Jesus reacts in the midst of the weeping and suffering of the grieving family. Jesus weeps with them. Jesus felt the grief and recognized the desolation of the dead man's family, and he cried with them. Jesus is with us in suffering. He weeps with us. Jesus promises life and love that is stronger than death itself, but he also is with us in the dark times, sharing the grief and the loneliness and the fear, walking with us on the journey towards the future hope. On Passion Sunday, our readings talk of resurrection hope just as we enter the darkest times, remembering Jesus' journey to the cross. Our nation today really needs to hear this message of resurrection hope. We all need to know that there will be new life. That hope and new life is something we can already feel when we notice what we already have, and that there is so much life-giving beauty all around us. Using your twig or the picture in this booklet, spend a moment looking at it. The trees in winter are all like this twig, bare and lifeless. But look outside if you can, to see that the spring is here. And new life is bursting through.
We've been asking you about the things which have been bringing you hope in such a difficult time, and it's been lovely to hear some of those things which have helped you. In our own family, and I'm sure like so many of you, we were so moved and encouraged by the clapping for the NHS. My oldest daughter, Iona, is a doctor and tells us every day how it is on those front lines, and it's certainly very scary and worrying for them. And I know that she found it so encouraging to hear everyone clapping. And it felt incredible to join forces, seeing Philip, who lives opposite us, and other neighbours, and just shouting out hello and waving and clapping together in solidarity, gratefulness and thankfulness for all of those, that's all of us who are staying inside or caring for others or carrying on because we're key workers, all of those going above and beyond to help this situation. It was lovely to hear from Rossi this week, who said that her and her family have had their faith as the bedrock, the thing that gives them hope in difficult times, and that's what's happening for them now. That they trust in God despite whatever awfulness is happening, and that's what gives them strength. Rossi recalls that when Ella was also fighting for her breath, like so many are today, that she had a very strong faith that kept her going and gave her courage, even when things were very, very difficult. Another very lovely person in our congregation mentioned the beautiful sunshine this week and that they felt the air was cleaner and the flowers looked more vivid and the birdsong seemed more cheerful. They just really noticed things in greater detail, more clarity. And another person who I'm friends with on social media also shared that they can't really imagine a time now when they didn't have Zoom, a video linking app. They have sort of adapted everything in their life to the resources they are now able to use. I'm sure many of us know exactly what that's about. Sort of suddenly doing meetings on video apps becomes the new normal. Diane said this: I came into the kitchen the other morning and my amaryllis was in bloom, a beautiful sight amid the gloom this virus is causing. I think we can all understand and picture how beautiful seeing something come into blossom and to bloom is when we're all feeling so down and in the doldrums. Elaine has rather brilliantly been entertaining herself and me through humorous film clips and memes. I'm not sure I can actually share these with you because some of them are a bit near the knuckle, can't lie. But as we remembered last week, humour is important as we cope with the difficulties of staying inside. And in Elaine's case, it's been listening to silly songs, very silly songs about loo rolls mainly, and watching funny YouTube clips. And I'm really glad that you shared them with me. And if you want to, I'm happy to share them with other people. And Frances, Reverend Frances, has also found humour to be a source of positivity and hope. She shared this funny thought her son had shared with her. It says, me drinking home alone 2019, sad, disturbing, loser. Me drinking home alone 2020, citizen, inspiration, hero. Humour is a really helpful way to keep us going and bring us hope.
So what gives you hope? When you see something to feel grateful for or gives you hope, write it down. You might like to cut out a flower shape and write your hopeful things on the flower and place it on your twig, or you might like to write directly on the picture of the twig on the back of the booklet. You might like to make flowers from your recycling or use craft items. Be as creative as you want. This can be your own prayer twig springing to life and blossoming with hopeful flowers. And why not keep it going through the week? Look at it every day. Prayerfully notice the wonderful and hopeful things we have right now. Count your blessings and allow the dead twig, like the dead bones and like Lazarus, to come to life. Use it as a reminder this week that Jesus is with us and weeps with us and gives us new life. I'd like to share something that's been circulating on social media this week. It's a message from a teacher in China who's reflecting on her experience in China over the last few weeks. And as they're now emerging slowly into new life, sharing some encouragement and advice for us as we're at the beginning of the process here in Europe. And this is what she says. We're just finishing our 7th week of e-learning, 7 weeks of being mainly housebound, and 7 weeks of uncertainty. We are healthy, we are happy, and we are humbled. We're allowed to move around freely now with a green QR code that we show when we get our temperature taken. You get your temperature taken everywhere, and it's just become part of the routine. Most restaurants and shopping centres are now open, and life is coming back to our city. As we watch the rest of the world begin their time inside, here are some of my reflections on the last 7 weeks. 1. Accept that you have no control over the situation. Let go of any thoughts of trying to plan too much for the next month or two. Things change so fast. Don't be angry and annoyed at the system. Anxiety goes down and you make the best of the situation, whatever that might be for you. Accept that this is what it is and things will get easier. 2. Try not to listen to or read or watch too much media. It will drive you crazy. There is a thing as too much. 3. The sense of community I have felt during this time is incredible. I could choose who I wanted to spend my energy on, who I wanted to call, message and connect with, and found the quality of my relationships has improved. 4. Appreciate this enforced downtime. When do you ever have time like this? I will miss it when we go back to the fast-paced speed of the real world. 5. Time goes fast. I still haven't picked up the ukulele I plan to learn, and there are box set TV shows I haven't watched yet. 6. As a teacher, the relationships I've built with my students have only continued to grow. I've loved seeing how independent they are, filming themselves to respond to tasks, while also learning essential life skills such as balance, risk-taking, and problem-solving, that even we as adults are still learning. 7. You learn to appreciate the little things. Sunshine through the window, flowers blossoming, and being able to enjoy a coffee in a cafe. To those just beginning this journey, you will get through it. Listen to what you're told. Follow the rules and look out for each other. There is light at the end of the tunnel. I think that's lovely. Today, on Passion Sunday, we've been hearing stories of resurrection while we're still in Lent, and we're waiting to journey to the cross. When we hear from Ezekiel and the raising of Lazarus, and each other in our church family, and this teacher in China, we can be encouraged that resurrection will and does happen in our lives, despite the current crisis. We do have hope. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Richard. Really important words and really good activity for us to join in with this week. We're going to continue now with a profession of faith. And we remember that we are joined together as a family, however physically distant we have to be at the moment. So let's say together,
we believe in God, the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named.
We believe in God, the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God, the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray to God. You'll need your stick or your picture of your stick in front of you as we use that to reflect in our prayer time. In our topsy-turvy world at the moment, we've decided to use our prayers back to front. Look at the twig and notice how it is no longer alive. Think about those who have died, especially those who have died from coronavirus. You might like to name people you know or you have heard of. In St. Swithin's, we especially remember Daisy and Sidnetta. Rest eternal grant unto them, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon them. Look at the twig and notice that it is disconnected from its tree. Think about all those who are sick, those with coronavirus, those who are suffering, those who are bereaved, depressed, extremely isolated. You might like to name people you know or you have heard of. We remember Blanche, Sydney, Edith, Vanda, Lorna, Sean, Ina, Stephen, Avril, and Diane. Lord of compassion, in your mercy, heal us. Look at the twig and remember that it should be connected to a big network of branches. Think about all those in our local community who are the branches of support for others, those working hard to save lives and care for others, especially for those who work for the NHS, care workers, volunteers helping those who are isolating, shopkeepers, so many different key workers keeping our community going. You might like to name people you know or have heard of. Lord of compassion, In your mercy, heal us. Look at the twig and remember that it should be connected to branches, connected to the trunk of a tree. Think about our wider world and all of our global neighbours who are struggling with coronavirus issues, the many countries in lockdown. You might like to name countries and people you know or have heard of. Lord of compassion,
in your mercy, heal us.
Look at the twig and remember that it should be connected to branches, connected to the trunk of a tree, which has roots. Remember that our church family is the place which roots us in God's love. Think about our church, our family at St. Swithin's, and those in our wider church family. You might like to name people you know or have heard of in church. Lord of compassion,
in your mercy, heal us.
God of all consolation and compassion, your Son comforted the grieving sisters Martha and Mary. Your breath alone brings life to dry bones and weary souls. Pour out your Spirit upon us, that we may face despair and death with the hope of resurrection and faith in the one who called Lazarus forth from the grave.
Amen.
And we join our prayers together with the prayer that Jesus taught us. As Jesus taught us, so we pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace. God has called us to live in peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you
and also with you.
Spend some time wishing peace to our family and our neighbours and our church family. Maybe there's someone who you might like to make contact with to share God's peace. The dismissal and the blessing. Great God, you are one God, and you bring together what is scattered and mend what is broken. Unite us with the scattered peoples of the earth, that we may be one family of your children. Bind up all our wounds and heal us in spirit, that we may be renewed as disciples of Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of us in our time of separation and always.
Amen.
And as we prepare to leave our worship, remember that dry stick and that this week we're looking for signs of hope and new life. Remember to notice anything which feels good or positive or hopeful and any blessings that you feel and write them down on the stick on the back page of the booklet or decorate the stick you found as your prayer stick and decorate it with homemade flowers or paper flowers representing the signs of hope. Well, you might like to use the Sunday School resources as well, as they are doing a very similar activity. We'd love it if you take photos and share them with us to see how you've been blessed.
The dismissal. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.
And now the notices. If you know of anyone in any need, please do let us know. We have many networks, like the tree with the different branches, that we can connect to. And don't forget to stay safe, stay indoors, keep others safe. And now the birthdays. And we have two this week. We have Tanisha, whose birthday is on Tuesday this week, and Karen Watson, whose birthday was Friday just gone. And we are going to attempt to sing happy birthday to you. So do join in so you can drown us out. Are you ready, Richard?
Yeah.
You've been looking forward to this bit,
yes.
Haven't you? Okay, you ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
May the Lord
bless and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.